H Radio.
Good morning. This is Pastor and Bible Teacher Craig Heilman. Welcome to another edition of Study His Word Radio. It's sunny out there. This is the first Sunday, and this would be 3 weeks before today. We had snow, or it was snowing on Sunday. This would be the first Sunday in 4 weeks that it's not actively snowing. But there is so much snow on the ground out there that I'm glad it's not snowing. So, but it's good to see the sunshine today, and the winds are not present. So it's really kind of a nice day today. We're going to have a couple of nice days in a row. And I tell you, some of the piles of snow out there are huge. Like some of the parking lots, like Walmart and Ollie's, and some of those where they've got it piled up really high. It'll be interesting to see how long it takes for those to melt. I wouldn't be surprised if 2 or 3 weeks from now we still see some snow in some of those larger piles. But anyway, I want to welcome you and thank you for joining me this morning. You can reach us at studyhiswordradio.org. You can send us an email at studyhiswordministries@yahoo.com, or you can write to us at Study His Word Radio, 6190 State Route 19, and that is in Mount Gilead, Ohio, and 43338. Today we play the last installment in our study of the book of Ephesians. We'll be wrapping it up today. And I hope that you've enjoyed it. I hope that you've been able to hear all of it or most of it. It's been a journey we've been on since April. But if you did miss any episodes, you can go to the station's webpage, wwgh1071.com. Go to the archive page and you can pull up any of the past broadcasts where you might have missed. So without further ado, let's get to the study. Well, there seems to be a problem here. I'm not sure what that problem is, but interesting. Well, while I try and figure this out, we'll let's see. Don't know what happened there. Uh-oh. There may be a problem with my CD. Let me try this again and see what comes up. That's a problem. All right. Well, guess what? I built that up as the grand finale in the book of Ephesians, and we have a problem. So, anyway, not to be deterred, we won't let that happen. Get that out of the thing there. All right. Well, I promise you next week I will have whatever problem occurred on that particular CD, we will have it corrected. So next week we will get that fixed. Well, we'll do open phones this morning. We'll take your phone calls, and I've also got some things I can talk about, but we'll take phone calls. Feel free to call. If you'd like to call, I'd love to hear from you. And we'll play it by ear. All right. Well, let's see. I did have some things I was going to talk about. And all right. Let's see. There were several things I wanted to talk about this morning. And so let me see here if I can just pull these up. This is bad. I'm sorry for the dead air space there. All right. Some things I was going to talk about this morning, and please feel free to call in, and we'll take your phone calls, and we'll talk about anything you want to talk about. All right. South Dakota becomes the 10th state to ban trans athletes from competing in female sports. And this was kind of interesting because I wasn't even aware that there were 10 states. Now, I did know that, you know, some of the states have been proposing legislature to ban the trans athletes from female sports, but I found it interesting that this was the 10th state. South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem signed a law banning trans athletes from competing in girls and women's sports, making South Dakota the 10th state in the U.S. to do so. Senate Bill 46 is about fairness, Noem said during a news conference after signing the bill. It's about allowing biological females to compete fairly on a level playing field that gives them opportunities for success. Hey, we got a call coming in. We'll go ahead and take that. Go ahead, caller. Go ahead, caller. Are you there? All right. Well, that's not working out. Oh, you know what? I didn't. All right. Here again, that was my fault. flying by the seat of my pants this morning, and let me try this one again. Go ahead, caller.
Hello there, Craig. How are you on this fine Sunday morning?
I'm doing good, Adam. I'm, you know, trying to get familiar with all the different controls here, but I think I've got it mastered now.
Don't you love it when technology suddenly takes a vacation?
Yes, it does. It was kind of funny because, you know, every week I have my CD that's got my, you know, Bible study on it, and it's been flawless since April. And then on today, my last CD of the Book of Ephesians, sure enough, it's a blank CD. So, yep, that goes to show you that anything can happen.
In live radio, if there were not surprises, you would not be doing live radio. Well, you were talking about the trans athletes competing,
yes,
and the Leah the swimmer. That story has been
big,
tremendously in the news.
It has.
You know, I kind of implied talking about this on my show, and bottom line is, identify as you wish, and I will support you to the end. However, if you are playing competitive sports and you are biologically a male, which means you have at least one chromosome, because some males actually don't exactly have X and Y, then you should not be competing as a female. And I don't care how much testosterone suppression you've taken. I don't care how much estrogen. I don't care if you even transitioned before puberty. I don't really think people should, but I'm not claiming expertise on that. But trans female athletes, Craig, competing as females are frauds and cheaters, and it's really a shame. As I'm sure you are a big supporter of female sports. My college has arguably the top women's hockey team in the country, better than the men's team, which is also one of the top. The Pickerington girls basketball team has a tradition of excellence, and there's many excellent girls competitive sports teams in this area. And I don't believe the world has come to this. And it's a case you give a group an inch, they take a mile. And I said, I will support someone identifying as the different gender to the end. But this is where the line is drawn. I don't see how anybody could support this. As a human being, it's highly offensive. And, you know, I consider myself a feminist. I've been called, you know, a TERF, trans exclusionary radical feminist, and if somebody calls me that, it's a badge of honor. As you know, I support equal, as I'm sure you do, equal rights for people, and again, express yourself as you wish, but this has gotten totally out of hand. Now we have the Olympics, and to me, this is 100 times worse than the baseball players on steroids. This controversy, as you know, should Barry Bonds be in the Hall of Fame? I say no, even though many steroid users have been. But he was so blatant about it. This is 100 times worse. So I would imagine you agree with me, Pastor Craig, but did you have any thoughts of your own?
Yeah.
From a biblical standpoint?
Yeah, well, yeah, I do. And pretty much I agree with most of what you said. And because even the example with Barry Bonds, everybody out there is starting at the same point, i.e. they're male. And then if they use drugs to enhance their performance to give them an edge, that's one thing. But this is totally different. This is, you know, they're not starting equal. You know, the science is, you know, men's body structures are different than women's.
Right. Now, the argument about starting it before puberty, I don't even agree with that. I mean, let's just pretend, this is a basic argument that even the most extreme people on the other side can't fight. Let's just pretend that I say it's okay for Leah to swim with the girls, etc. Let's look at basketball. Height is obviously an advantage in basketball. It's an advantage in most sports. I mean, not a jockey, but pretty much in any sport. Hockey, certainly, an advantage. There's a height advantage. But it's almost like it's a joke. You know, you're a tall man. You know, you play basketball. I don't know, but, you know, I'm sure people have asked you that because you're tall. The average height of males is taller than females. That doesn't mean that there are females that are a foot taller than I am. But all in all, you know, men average 5'8", 5'9", women average 5'3", 5'4". I don't know enough to know if you take hormones or suppression of hormones before puberty, if that affects your height. I think it might a little bit, but there's still your DNA still says male. You can't change it, the X and Y chromosomes. So there's no argument for that.
No, there's not. You know, and with the use of puberty blockers, you can't fight the DNA. And males have
DNA,
different bone density. So
even if you
arrest the sexual development, you cannot change what's already been occurring with bone density, muscle structure, and the like.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree if you take suppression. I mean, who knows if it's even healthy when you're age 8.
It's not.
Unless you have to go to an early age, because women start developing, I mean, sometimes before 10, that it's going... It will make more of a difference than if you're 40 and you transition. Yeah, but we have, you know, Caitlyn Jenner, and I'm getting a lot of respect for her. You know, normally I said, okay, well, I don't know, but you know, again, I fully support the transition, and you know, like yourself, I admire Bruce Jenner greatly in his Olympic days, and I will support Caitlyn till the end if that's what she feels is the right thing to do. But she is clearly against it, and who would know better? There's a former Olympian. I mean, come on.
Right.
Who would be a better person to give that opinion? So it's aggravating. You know, it's almost like, you know, I don't know if there are trans females on my college women's hockey team. If they are, they're cheaters, and the records are meaningless. But let's hope not.
Well, you mentioned, too, that, you know, it's a minority of people and that would support it. And it's true. It is very true. In this instance, it is a minority of people that support this. It's a very small minority, but yet it's a group of people that are using it as an agenda, and they're making a lot of noise.
So, if anybody calls me a TERF, that is trans exclusionary radical feminist, my answer is thank you. That means that I support women's rights. You know, I'm sure you do, Craig, and I support women's sports, especially again with my college and their female hockey team, and everybody should get a chance to play sports. Now, I don't know what we do about the trans athletes. It may be a little harsh to say they should play as men because again they are suppressing the maleness. But that I don't know. But certainly shouldn't be playing as women.
Right.
No one on the Olympics who's transitioned. And you know, yeah. And I saw this on Facebook, and this is another interesting point. We don't see any females transitioning as males, competing as males. So what do you do? What do you do about that? That's an interesting topic. That's a PhD thesis in the making. So I don't know, but I don't think I've ever seen any of those.
I was mentioning that just the other day. I was talking to somebody about this very topic, and I said, "So how many times have you seen it where the female's transitioning to male in sports? You don't see it. There's a very good reason for it, because even then they know." They can't compete against the men.
Yeah. I don't know what you do. I mean, maybe it's just if you're trans, you probably shouldn't be playing competitive sports, play intramural. I don't know. You know, everybody should get a chance. You know, athletics is an important thing in this country. But again, we do have to have some reasonable guidelines. And, I mean, don't wrestlers and some other sports, don't they test you for steroids before they even give you a trophy?
Yes.
I mean, isn't that kind of the same thing?
Right.
Along the same lines. And, you know, I don't know, you know, you feel about Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, and, you know, A-Rod, they call him A-Roid, in the Hall of Fame. There obviously are players that have taken steroids, and like anything, it's, do you get caught? Barry Bonds was so blatant. I mean, just look at him. Look at how his body changed. He obviously took a lot of them. Why he did, I don't know. Look at his bloodline. And I think he would have been a better player if he was. Ken Caminiti, you know, outstanding defensive and offensive player. I believe he had a heart attack due to steroids. He was about 40 years old. So they're dangerous. And it's a shame to see such a natural talent.
Yes.
It makes players like Ken Griffey Jr. look better, yeah. He disappointed with the Reds, but really his body looked the same, you know, from 20 to 40. I don't think he took one drop of a steroid.
Right.
And so and you feel for the guy. So
yes. And one other comment I'd like to make, because you did kind of ask the question, you know, biblical perspective on this. And, you know, my perspective on it is we are commanded as men to respect and protect the women in our society.
Right.
So that respect and protection is to the females of our society. So there's no way that we could possibly be for allowing men who were born men to compete against our women. It's just it just makes no sense.
I mean, I would take that as being a bit old-fashioned. I mean, I'm for equal rights. Everybody should get the same chance, and I consider myself a feminist. And I just admire when women go places that they might not have a couple generations ago. But yeah, from a biblical standpoint, yeah. And I'm looking at it just from a practical standpoint as a human being, and again as someone who is interested in fairness in sports. And it's not a perfect analogy with the steroids and Barry Bonds and the Hall of Fame, but it's close.
It's close.
Yeah. That you're altering a body, and I think from a scientific standpoint. And then we have people saying, well, some men are XYY chromosome, and they may be more masculine. That's another interesting point, because the number of the people that don't have actually XY or XX chromosomes is more than people think it is. That I don't know what to say. But I do know that if you have at least one Y chromosome, you have no business competing as a woman, and I don't care how many testosterone suppression drugs you've taken. I don't care if you started transitioning when you were 5. It is not fair. And I don't think it's right for people, for school age kids to be transitioning. That's something that you need to decide about at the very least in your late teens.
Right, I would agree. And one other comment about that, the swimmer Leah, as she goes by. She was in previous years on the swim team as a man,
but
she didn't really do very well.
I'm not saying, how convenient to switch. I'm not saying, Craig, that she or others purposely became a female so that she would have a handicap, so to speak. I mean, like, you know, when I ball, I'm bad, obviously, because I'm clumsy, but I like the ball. I'm not that bad. So, you know, I'm going to have a 20-point handicap against a good player. I don't believe that that's the case here, nor do I believe that most people transition just so that they have this unfair handicap. I think some people do, but not a lot. Just like I don't believe that people transition so they can spy on people in the bathroom. I think that does happen occasionally, but I think it does thin the argument if people harp on that. And I imagine you agree. But, you know, I don't know. I'm sure it's happened in some case, but I don't think that is a modus operandi by any chance. But yeah, that just makes Leah look worse.
Makes her look worse. That's right.
Yeah. And would you agree with me, Pastor Craig, that not a lot of people do this just so that they can get the handicap, or that they can, you know, do things in the restroom that?
No, I don't think that most people would do that for reason.
But there's people that think that, though.
Right.
I think I'm not saying nobody, but I think that's a very small amount. I think, you know, Leah does feel like a female, just like Caitlyn Jenner does, and I will support her till the end of that. But the support ends when she swims on the girls' swim team because she's a fraud and a cheater.
Right. I would agree.
That's about all I had for you, Craig.
All right.
Great show.
Thank you.
And I'll be listening. Have a wonderful day.
All right. Thanks.
Bye.
All right. Thank you very much for calling. And the phone lines are open. You're welcome to call. So, that's it. And that's really the crux of it is, again, I don't believe that a majority of people support this. And it's obvious that, you know, with 10 states enacting this type of law to prohibit it, it's obviously not supported by the majority of people. It was interesting, the states that have laws are Idaho, Montana, Texas, Arkansas, Mississippi, Alabama, Tennessee, Florida, West Virginia, almost all southern states where we believe men are men and women are women. All right. So that was that's something that's been in the news a lot lately. Phone lines are open. If you'd like to call in, we can talk about anything you want to talk about. Okay. Let's see. I had a couple other things here just for this purpose. Let me see. Oh, boy. All right. Evangelicals are the only religious group to oppose immigration citizenship path, according to a poll. We got another call coming in, so let's go ahead and take that. Go ahead, caller.
Hello?
Yes, hello.
Why, good morning, Pastor. What a nice, beautiful sunshine morning.
Oh, isn't that, I mean, it was great to see that sun shining, and I'll tell you what, I have two shirts on, but I didn't even put my coat on.
Uh-huh.
It's just so beautiful out there to have that sun shining.
Well, I'll tell you, all good things come from above.
Amen.
And as far as I'm concerned, the snow come from above, and so it was meant that way, and that's the way it's going to be now and forever. But you know what I just say? I took a little trip in town and just surveillance thing, and Sunday morning was kind of quiet there early, and I noticed the destruction on the mailboxes. Did you notice anything like that coming in?
No, I didn't.
Well, I'm telling you, there's mass destruction on there. Now, whenever there's something like that happen, we want to point the finger at someone. Well, the snow comes down, and then we have professional people that's trained and stuff to remove it. So the removal of the snow gets a lot of blame of the people with the removal service. No, they have nothing to do with it. They work with what they have to do, and their demands is, let's get that removed. We want to go from a level 3 to nothing, to normal, and that's what they're out there for. But the viscosity of the snow and rain mixture was heavy, and the destroying of mailbox was enormous. My goodness, I went on 3 roads here in Marion County and around the Pleasant Township, and oh man, was they ever knocked down, completely destroyed and everything. And it wasn't on account of the operator of the snowplow, which they get a lot to blame for. They get a lot of blame for blocking the driveways. Well, their job is to remove it, and that's what they've done. Then the other consequences will have to work it out. And so on and so forth. But I thought I'd throw that in, that we've got excellent snow removal people and people governing this county and city, that when the emergency comes, you know, I've lived here for, 80 years, but there's about 7 or 8 years that I was a kid that couldn't respond. And when you're a teenager, you didn't. But when you got older, you could respond to things. And I've always been favorable to our county and city. I've lived in the city for 30 years, I lived in the county for 30 years. And so that takes up the time. I was raised at the age 17. So anyhow, Pastor, getting back to it, everything's related around sports. But you know what? In life, and that's what we're talking about with your program, life, there's a starting line and there's a finish line. And we've all started, and we never knew that what was going to happen when we started when day of birth. And there's another line that you finish, and that's the goal. And when we die, we don't ever know when we're going to die. And that isn't the finish line, but we don't know what happens after the finish line until we receive and be there. And so that's my thing. I like to listen to your show the few times that I listen, but you don't have much time to do what you really like to do, is help people realize the value of life. That's enough.
Well,
are you with me yet?
Yeah, I'm with you, and I thank you. I thank you very much. And I did have a couple things I wanted to say. And about first of all, about the snow removal. And this snow was a heavy snow. So when that plow's going down the road, he's throwing a lot of volume of snow, and it's going at a certain speed, 30 or 40 miles an hour. And it's going to tear up some mailboxes. And I seriously doubt if a single one of those mailboxes was actually hit by the plow. It just got hit by the large volume of snow. So
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
the volume of snow wasn't the real factor. It was the viscosity of the snow, the mixture of the hard so-called rock and snow of removal that damaged the heavy impact on the mailboxes. Normal snow and stuff, we went through that, but this was a little different texture. And, of course, all the years that I've lived out here, I haven't kept a diary of what the viscosity was, but this was a different type of viscosity, and what they have to do. And a lot of mailboxes are destroyed, and that is no fault by nobody. There's no fault you can blame it on, but they have to get them back up, because, boy, is there ever going to be an impact on the Postal Service when they load the trucks up to come out to the rural areas and deliver the mail. There is nowhere to deliver. So that means return back to the Postal Service, and by the time these are all repaired by the person, the dwelling that they're meant for, or the county responsible for, I do not know. But we just be human beings and just kind of work together, and that'll be taken care of. But I'm well satisfied what the conditions were and the way we're back to it. And the sunshine this morning will help out terrifically. So bless you, Pastor, and I'll catch up with you later.
All right. Thank you very much for calling.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. All right. Thank you for calling. And phone lines are open. If you want to call in, I'd love to have you call. All right. So, support for an immigration reform plan that includes a pathway to citizenship for those in the country illegally has plummeted within the past decade among white evangelicals, who are the only religious demographic to oppose a proposal that has been backed by Republican and Democrat presidents, according to a new survey. The Public Religion Research Institute poll found that 62% of Americans believe there should be a pathway to citizenship for immigrants living in the country illegally, provided they meet certain requirements. Although American views on this issue have changed little since 2013, when the same question was asked, back then 63% supported it. The opinions of white evangelicals have changed dramatically. I want to stop right there. And, you know, it's a problem that does not have an easy solution. Because it's, what do you do about the millions, and literally there are millions of illegal immigrants that are already here? And quite honestly, there's no way I can see feasible that we could round them all up and send them back. I honestly do believe that we have to do everything possible to control our borders, to keep the number of illegal immigrants at an absolute minimum, whether that's building a wall, whether that's more border patrols, whether that's tougher courts, whatever. I do believe that we have an obligation to the citizens of this country to keep down the amount of illegal immigration as possible. For the standpoint of what do we do about the people are here, who are here, I think realistically there should be a plan that there be a pathway to citizenship. I think it should require, that at a very minimum, it should require all the requirements that are currently put on a person that that legally comes to this country and then wants to be a citizen. At the very minimum, it should be that. But, you know, it's a problem that we have to do something about. We can't just ignore it because it's not going to go away. That's my thoughts on that. And I want to make one other comment. It's been kind of popular to say, you know, some people have said that, well, Jesus would have been considered an illegal immigrant, and so he wouldn't be welcome in the United States today. Well, no, that's not exactly right. Jesus was born in Israel, what is now Israel today, and yes, they fled to Egypt upon God's orders. They fled to Egypt for his safety, and they lived there till he was it was about 8 years, I think, that he lived there. It was six years. So that's the point that people use, that, well, he was an illegal immigrant, and so we wouldn't be welcoming to him. No, that's not really a good comparison. That was a special circumstance, and he fled to Egypt. His family fled to Egypt for his protection, and quite honestly, that was something they were told by God. And I happen to believe that everything in the Bible is true, and they were directed by God to go there. And I don't believe that 13 million illegal immigrants have been told by God to come here. So I just kind of wanted to straighten that out a little bit. So phone lines are open. You're welcome to call. And we've got a little bit of time left here. Wanted to, at this point, say thank you for listening. And you can catch me on Wednesday nights. I join with Nate Redmond after his trivia show. I join Nate Redmond and Terry Tackett from 5:15 to 6, and we have the Live at 5, the show with no name, the show that still has no name, and you're welcome to join us there. Also, too, we love hearing from you. I actually did receive a couple of different emails after the show last week, and so love your comments, love to hear from you. Again, you can get a hold of me, visit my website, studyhiswordradio.org, and from that you can contact us, prayer request, comments, questions, biblical questions. We'd love to hear from you. Also, do want to remind you that this Saturday we're having a Valentine's dinner at the Shining Light Baptist Church, right there at the corner of Church and Mount Vernon. It's kind of where it comes to a triangle. And it's a free dinner and concert from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. You can hear the music of Jeremy Lyles and enjoy some pizza. And you could meet me. I'll be there. But a chance to just fellowship with some other neat people. So you're welcome to come Saturday. I do ask that you let me know that you will be attending. Let me know by Thursday if you will be attending. We'd love to have you. And again, you can notify me through the website, or you can write to me, send me an email at studyhiswordministries@yahoo.com. So that's some things that are coming up. And there again, we'd love to hear from you. All right, let's see. I've got a couple other things here. Let's see. Oh, I did want to say, too, about the snow. since we were talking about snow, you know, I'm 63 years old, and I've lived in this part of Ohio all of my life. And I've never been a big winter person. I've never been a fan of the snow. And for most of my adult life, I've been I've had jobs where I spend a lot of time driving. I've had several sales jobs. I've had a truck driving job. I was a plumber for about 15 years. And, you know, I spend a lot of time out in the snow going from house to house. And so I've spent a lot of time driving, and I've never been a fan of the snow. But, you know, like that caller this morning when, you know, he was talking about the snow, when I was driving in here today and enjoying the sunshine and just kind of looking around at the snow and some of the big piles that they're there at Walmart and Ollie's, and I kind of sat in the parking lot for a little while, and it was just kind of pretty. I think that's about the first time I've ever referred to snow as pretty, but it was actually kind of enjoyable to see the piles of snow. And I guess part of that was, you know, the sun shining this morning. First time we've seen the sun in a few days. And it was Sunday morning, and it was kind of relaxed and kind of quiet, and it was kind of nice. So, I don't know, maybe I'm just getting old. I'm enjoying the things in life more. I don't know. But, it was kind of nice. Okay. Let's see. I think I have another story here. Let's see. Maybe not. Phone lines are open. Give us a call, 740-393-9944. Let's see. Chick-fil-A in East Texas buries Bible in its foundation. A Texas-based Chick-fil-A set to open this spring was literally built on the Bible. When the foundation for the restaurant was laid, a Bible was placed in it. The chicken restaurant, based in Marshall, will be led by East Texas natives David and Holly Snow. David, who played college football at the University of Texas, had a brief stint in the NFL as a linebacker for the Buffalo Bills and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Holly, also a University of Texas graduate, was a former news reporter for the ABC affiliate, KLTV, and KTRE before marrying her husband in 2002. The Snows are committed to God and wanted to honor him through their restaurant by making the Bible a part of its foundation. According to church leaders, the couple's 4-year-old son, Montgomery, placed a Bible on the foundation during construction. The Bible was left open to Joshua 1, which reads, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Eric Swarzynski, the host of the Preacher Boys podcast, asked his followers to make sense of the Bible being placed in the restaurant's foundation. "They buried a Bible under Chick-fil-A," he tweeted, along with a photo of the Bible and a post from Chick-fil-A Marshall's Facebook page celebrating the question. Comments from Twitter users range from "building on a good foundation, the Word of God," to "they're destroying a perfectly good Bible." The Snows, however, were unable to attend the event because their second daughter, Winter, was being born. Winter, who was born in October, was diagnosed with Down syndrome, a congenital heart defect, and an esophageal problem. In a post on Facebook, Holly explained that their baby daughter had already undergone her first surgery at 3 days old, with more procedures to come. "We firmly believe God thought of and uniquely designed our Win just as He wanted her here on earth in His image. Winter is an answer to countless prayers, a daughter of the King, an absolute miracle, unlike anything we've ever witnessed before on earth." As a result, the Snows decided early on we would rather our children have Jesus than any other thing in this world. Heaven is the goal, and if our girl can worship Jesus and point others to him, it's worth more than silver or gold, houses or land, man's applause, or anything this world affords. Our God is in the happy and sunshine, and he's also in the lowest and darkest and stormiest moment. As the date for winter's open heart surgery nears, her mother admits that being fearful, yet it is taking comfort in God, who is truly near to the brokenhearted. Chick-fil-A, which has received praise and criticism for its Christian principles, has topped the list of America's favorite fast food chains for 7 years in a row. Kind of interesting. It's not uncommon when there's a courthouse or another important building being erected to put a time capsule in the foundation. But here they chose to put a Bible in the foundation, and that was the foundation upon which they were building. And you know, I think I see absolutely nothing wrong with that. I know someone made a comment, I think it was more tongue-in-cheek, but they said it was a waste of a good book, a good Bible. But putting the Bible in the foundation of the Chick-fil-A, it's just a statement of, you know, what their foundation is and how strong their beliefs. So I applaud them. I think that's very good. So last time, I want to mention it, but we're having a dinner and concert at our church this Saturday night. That's Saturday the 12th. It's from 6 to 8 p.m. It's a pizza dinner. And music is provided by Jeremy Lyles. And Jeremy Lyles was at the Popcorn Festival this year. So I have a feeling you may be familiar with him, or you may have seen him. But he'll be there this Saturday night from 6 to 8. There is no cost for the dinner. We'd love to have you join us. Again, you can contact me at studyhiswordradio.org or write to us, email us at studyhiswordministries@yahoo.com or write to me at studyhiswordradio 6190 State Route 19, and that's in Mount Gilead, Ohio, 43338. So next week, I promise, we will have the last installment in our study in Ephesians. And by the way, I'm going to make available, I know I've mentioned this a couple times before, but I want to mention it today. We're going to make available a complete collection of CDs of our teaching on the book of Ephesians. Now, these will not be the radio show, but they will be just the study in Ephesians. So, and that will be available at no cost, and you can get it by writing to us. Hello, caller. Go ahead.
Are you the pastor of the church there?
No, I'm not actually the pastor of the church. That's the church that I call home, but I am not actually the pastor there.
Is his name Carr?
Yes, Gary Carr.
I know his father very well. He worked on the railroad, and I've been invited to that church several times, and I was wondering if he is still the pastor there.
Yes.
Well, thank you very much. Bye.
Bye now. Yes. He is still the pastor there, and more than welcome to have you come in. So, yes, and so we have dinner this Saturday night, dinner and a concert. We'd love to have anybody there. And I'll be on again Wednesday night with Nate and Terry Tackett. And, oh, I was saying about the CDs. So you can get the full Book of Ephesians on CD. It doesn't include any part of the radio program. That's not the study. It's strictly the study. And you can get it by writing to us and requesting it, and we'll get it sent out to you. And that will be available at again, no charge. We're in the process of putting it together now, and I don't know how what it's going to be, but it's going to end up being about 12 or 13 CDs. They run about 45 to 55 minutes each, but it comprehensive and covers the whole book of Ephesians. So that will be available. All right, well, thanks again for listening, tuning in today. Enjoy the sunshine. I'll be back next week. Again, you can go to the station's archive page, wwgh1071.com. Click on the archive page, and you can hear any of the previous shows that we've done. And in addition to the study in Ephesians, there are some interviews. I had an interview back in May with a retired four-star general from the Air Force. She was a very interesting individual. I did an interview with a young man who's on a missionary on college campus here in the United States. So those are also available. So I would encourage you to go to the archive page and listen to past shows. Again, thanks for listening, and I look forward to being here back here next week. And I'll also be here Wednesday night. So thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you real soon. Bye.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio, the talking place. For grandson of President Warren G. Harding, Jim Blessing.
And for the first time, I'm very happy to say, doing the first broadcast interview here in Marion, Ohio, on a station named after Warren G. Harding, just a quarter mile from the Harding Memorial, where the president is buried, is Jim Blessing, the grandson of President Warren G. Harding and Nan Britton. Jim, I can't tell you how happy I am that you are joining us today via the airwaves.
Same here. I'm very happy. I thank you very much for this opportunity to get this story out.
What do you want to see happen from this point out? This is now the truth.
It is the truth. And this is what